What, you dare me
what,
to make
you,
it about
dare
feminism?
Me to make it about feminism?
I can make it about
because
feminism.
I can make it about feminism.
You are now listening you to the are Feminist now listening Bar podcast. To the Feminist Bar podcast.
What is good? What is popping? Welcome to the Feminist Bar podcast with your host, Tina Tsuyamaka. And you know what? I'm here with a goodie and a little solo episode because I went to see Barbie so that you don't have to. I'm kidding. Go see it. So before I start this episode, I just want to say that if you have not seen the movie, then don't listen to this because there's going to be hella spoilers and I'm even going to say what the plot of the movie is about. So I have been seeing a lot of commentary. So there's a couple of reasons for this episode. First of all, a lot of commentary talking about how empowering this movie is, talking about how amazing it was for little girls, little boys, queer youngins. And I just thought that was amazing. And what cemented and confirmed for me that this was a radical act of media by Greta Gerwig is the fact that incels all over the world are crumbling, unraveling, coming off their hinges because of this movie. So we're going to talk about it, right? So what is going on? The Barbie movie came out a couple of months ago. The lead is Margot Robbie, her Ken is Ryan Gosling, and there are a couple of other faves in the movie. We've got Issa Rae, we've got America Ferrera, oh my goodness, what's her name? I'm so sorry that I'm forgetting her, but she's on Rough Night, and I think she's Australian or from New Zealand, and she's so funny, and she's weird Barbie in the movie. But anyway, a couple of things that are making this movie so special is because it is now the highest grossing Warner Brothers movie in history, surpassing The Dark Knight. And let me tell you something. You guys know people love Batman, okay? And it's one of my favorite movies. So the fact that this is grossing over Batman, crazy. And it is the fastest ever movie to reach 400 million. It has grossed over like 500 million global. And I'm sure that these numbers are yet to be updated. So this might even be old. And even just the biggest week ever for Warner Brothers. So That's a cultural shift, okay? That is a cultural shift. So let's just like get into it a little bit. I'm sure if you just exist, you probably know of Barbie. You've maybe had a Barbie, you know someone who had a Barbie. And Barbie started in 1959, created by Ruth, who actually features in the movie. Well, not the real Ruth, but yeah. And she started Barbie because the only toys that little girls had to play with were babies, which means that for a long time, even within the toy industry, which is really something that still exists up till now, like little girls are only ever given the option to aspire to motherhood and to cater to others and to just serve the patriarchy. And I think something that's so special about Barbie is the fact that she evolved into this grown woman who had so many careers and so many achievements and who was really holding down her own. So something that was also interesting was kind of like juxtaposing what like the Barbies in like Barbie world thought was really going on in the world because of how they were living versus what actually ended up happening in the real world. So yeah, we're just gonna get into the plot of the movie. So the plot of the movie is that we start off in Barbie land with Barbie, Margot Robbie, who is stereotypical Barbie, and she just kind of starts glitching and she starts having like anxiety and thoughts of death, and she's just like, oh my goodness, what's happening to me? So she sends a weird Barbie who tells her that like whoever she's tethered to like in the real world is really going through it, and some of those feelings are kind of like seeping through and kind of like fucking up their synergies, and like, oh, you have to go to the real world if you want to fix this. So that is how Barbie ends up in the real world, and she's accompanied by Ken. So while in the real world, she's kind of realizing that, wait, Barbie didn't fix the patriarchy. The world is full of misogyny. And I think it was so special to see a movie depict the real world be kind of like as violent as it is without downplaying it, while also like Barbie was not someone from the real world, so she was struggling to understand why everything was so unequal and so unfair in a way that, like, she didn't even necessarily have the words for it, but she had a feeling about it. So anyway, there's just a lot of emerging themes from this movie. So she goes to the real world. She's trying to, like, fix this tether problem. She's trying to meet, like, the humans who are causing this, and that ends up being America Ferrera and her daughter, and they basically all go back to Barbie Land, where Ken has taken back the patriarchy, and they're just trying to fix that. And I guess that's just the plot of the movie. So it's a lot of emerging themes, which I think, I mean, if you're listening to this and you have younger siblings, if you have younger people in your life, I think this is an interesting and a good start, because it covers so many themes, maybe in a way that young girls might not be, you know, able to necessarily apply the big words, but they know the feelings that are associated with some of the things that they experience. And I think that's really special to be told that, well, you know, what you're feeling is not peculiar, it's something that other people go through, and it's valid. So here are some of the important lessons for young girls that I saw in Barbie, right? We're not going to make this episode too long, but come on, we have to unpack. We have to unpack, because why do the incels hate this movie? Why do the incels hate this movie? We have to talk about it. So first things first, like right off the bat, is that women can do anything. I think that's, like, even in the opening montage, that's like the first 5 minutes of the movie, like that emphasis of it doesn't matter, like, who you are, you can literally do anything. So something that's interesting about this is I saw a tweet where someone was like, oh, like, Barbie was so feminist. And then I think there was a follow-up tweet of, like, one of my mutuals saying, okay, it's bubblegum feminism. It's not really feminism, and that it's not really breaking down any systemic barriers. But my favorite tweet was actually someone saying it was not feminism, it was women empowerment, because there is a difference, right? There's a difference between the way that we empower ourselves and the way that we are empowered within the community versus the way that we are actually breaking down, like, systemic barriers. So I wouldn't say that, like, you know, we're telling young girls that they could do anything is necessarily feminism, because it does not necessarily break down the systemic barriers that they face across, like, sectors and across fields in terms of being able to do anything, because, of course, like, your class background, your race, your sexual identity, your gender expression was all going to impact the way that you are seen in the world and what you can do. But I think that empowerment being a first step has always been very important, because while we do the feminist work, we must also empower women to be able to own that feminist work, right? So I thought that was, you know, a really great theme for the beginning. We have, like, the astronauts, we have Issa Rae as Barbie president, we have, like, Congress, Senate, like, it, just gives me shivers. And I think one of the next things that I really loved about it is, alongside being able to do anything, was that theme of really, like, decentering men, right? So the Barbies in Barbie Land, they didn't give a fuck about what the Kens were up to. They didn't care about the Kens. The Kens more or less did not have a voice, which kind of also speaks a little bit to kind of, like, the way that women experience the real world, right? Like, the way that women experience the real world in never being heard, never being seen, and not really having their voice heard. And I think maybe this is one of the things that has been driving the incels crazy, right? Seeing on a screen, like, what it could possibly look like to be subjugated and not be heard in the same way that, like, women and queer people haven't been heard. And I know that there's a scene somewhere in the beginning when Ken wants to hang out with Barbie, and Barbie's like, well, this is my house, you're not allowed in my house, and, like, every night is girls night. And I was just like, purr, I love that. I just thought it was just, I don't think that's that radical, because I think people think that it was radical to say, oh, well, like, well, men are excluded, men have no voice. But I think it was interesting considering how strongly, like, the socialization of young girls and women happens, and that in every single thing that you do, you're taught to consider men, in everything that you do in your personal life, in the way that you present yourself, in the careers that you choose, in the decisions you make, the friends you make, the things you wear, how you choose to embody womanhood, right? All of that centers somehow, like, being picked in the end. And I think this movie, like, there was not a single second where men were being centered. And the only instance in which men ended up being centered was literally when the Barbies were hypnotized, when they were not thinking straight. That was interesting to me. So just that, like, coming into your own as an individual, and there's a line even that, like, Weird Barbie says. So, like, even outside of, you know, talking about decentering men, just, like, owning who you are as an individual, there's a line that Weird Barbie said, and she said, it's either you're brainwashed or, like, you're ugly and weird, right? Which is also somewhat speaking to beauty standards, and that, like, if you're different, and if you don't subscribe to, like, what everyone else subscribes to, like, people are going to think you're weird and you're not going to fit in. And sometimes, like, in the real world, it seems like those are the two options. And I guess just giving the Barbies and the little girls and all of us that are watching that idea that it doesn't have to be this way. And even if you exist outside of this and people think this way, there's still that way of, like, finding your own happiness within that. And leading up to the next lesson, which I thought was amazing, which was your experiences are valid even when you are struggling to put words to them. There is that scene when Barbie immediately arrives in the real world and she's looking all cute and sexy, and she immediately starts being sexualized by all of the men in the real world. And she says, I don't know what's happening, but it feels violent and I don't like it, right? Which is literally what sexual harassment is. People struggle to define it because they're like, well, there's no tangible violence, there's nothing physical that's really been done to you, so how can you know that you're being sexually harassed? But that again has just been a tactic to question women's sanity, to question, like, women's thought processes. And it's like, when you're being violated, you know that you're being violated. And I love that scene because I was like, you know what, some girl's gonna watch this out there and she's gonna be like, you know what, I was valid to feel this way. You might not always be able to put words to something, but you're always gonna know how it feels, and if it threatens you and if it makes you feel unsafe, there's nothing to question about that. And I love that. And even outside of sexual harassment, just the ability to a certain extent determine your own happiness and your own path, and knowing that even when you're not in control, sometimes, like, it's going to be okay, and it is okay to not have it all figured out. Because I think the whole movie was Barbie trying to figure out what she wanted, and in the end she didn't want to be Barbie anymore. She wanted to be a human being, right? So, of course, with all of these things that I've said, of course the incels hate Barbie. Of course the incels hate Barbie. But let's get into why, like, at the crux of it all, I really think that Ben Shapiro released a 54-minute video, like, unraveling about how this movie is terrible and a terrible lesson and breaking down the world and making it such a terrible place. First things first, misogyny is something that is learned. Misogyny did not exist in Barbie Land, right? Ken went to the real world, took patriarchy, and went and applied it in Barbie World in a place where the Kens didn't even know that it was going on, right? Like, misogyny is learned. No one is inherently good or inherently bad, but we're socialized to believe the things that we believe and then, like, manifest them in all these different, like, violent ways to each other. And something that was particularly interesting is the fact that the reason that any of this even appealed to Ken to begin with is because he was insecure and he was afraid, and he was afraid of not being picked by Barbie, and he was afraid of not being useful. And that is what led him to that. And it just confirms, like, the things that patriarchy is fueled by, right? Patriarchy is fueled by the insecurity. Patriarchy is fueled by fear. Fear of, like, no longer having privilege. Fear of just, like, not being seen. Fear of not being seen as a certain thing. And what's crazy is even within that patriarchal order, the Kims were not happy. They were at war with themselves. They were at war with each other. They were still insecure, incredibly unhappy. And is that literally not every incel, you know? Like, point me to one incel who is happy. Put me into one incel. And it's just like, patriarchy even in itself has been so limiting to men, right? Because it has all of these limited notions on what manhood and masculinity should be. And anyone who doesn't fit within that is not a man and does not deserve to be treated with a man, like a man, or with respect. And taking it back to, like, how transactional it is, right? That the only thing that men have to offer is resources and money. And if they can't offer that, then they're not very useful. So I just thought that that was bright and clear in this movie. And even the fact that in the end they went to war, kind of, like, leading on to the next theme, which was just like a hilarious display of how ridiculous toxic masculinity can be in leadership. Like, you had all of those directors at Mattel, like, making all of those decisions about Barbie, making all of those decisions about women, making all of those decisions about women's bodies, when in actual fact, like, they didn't have a clue what was going on. They too were fueled by, like, irrational decisions and emotion and no perspective. Like, even in the end of the world, even in the end of, like, Barbie world, like, they literally were not useful. It was the Barbies who restored order, right? It was the Barbies who restored order. It was Ruth who came and had a conversation with Margot and helped Margot out of, like, her identity crisis. So, again, are men really not emotional and more rational than women? No, 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 no. I think not. So, I mean, outside of course, all of these obvious themes that I've just been discussing for the past couple of minutes, it's just generally, we're out of Barbie land now. I'm just talking about the real world. There's this disdain for all things feminine and things that women enjoy, and there's just seen to be silly or frivolous or not worth talking about. And I think that's just a part of, like, the erasure and, like, misogyny, right? And I think that the fact that this movie was created and was so successful, being something that mobilized and brought so many women and queer people together in this empowering way, where we've all been like, oh, hi, Barbie, hi, Barbie, hi, Barbie. Oh, this Barbie does this, this Barbie does that. And just the emphasis on, like, loving each other and sticking together and knowing our power and not adhering to these ridiculous standards of what women should be. I think that's something that's caused a lot of disdain, right? From people who don't want women to be empowered in that way, because the closer that you are to people who value what you value and believe what you believe, the more powerful you are. That is literally what movement building is, right? And of course, how can they not hate that? And to see stereotypes and, like, harmful behaviors be broken down in such a simple way that even young kids are gonna understand is a threat to what I guess patriarchy would call a natural order, right? We're gonna have young girls and young queers questioning why things are the way they are, realizing that even when they can't put language to something, something is wrong and it's not their fault, and it just is the problematic and harmful way of the world, is really, really foundational and hopefully going to be life-changing for a lot of little girls out there. And I think that that scares the shit out of people who enjoy subjugating and people who enjoy being in charge and people who enjoy subjecting others to violence. And I just think that that's why the incels hate it. So was Barbie the most feminist production of the world that is going to change everything and patriarchy is over and violence against women is never going to happen again? No. But was it an empowering example of what it looks like to exist in the world and question yourself as a woman living within the cis hetero capitalist patriarchy? Absolutely. Can it be a frame of reference for parents who want to teach little girls and even little boys about the ways that they should contribute to society and the way that we should, like, treat each other and the way that we should be leading our lives? Yeah. And that's why the incels hate it. So anyway, that has been my perspective about Barbie. Maybe you're listening to this like, wow, that's a lot to unpack about a movie about dolls. Yeah, it is. I'm the discourse queen. That's why we're here. So yeah, those were just some of my thoughts. I am going to be consuming some Barbie content over the next couple of weeks. I'm going to be hearing what other podcasters think about this, other TikTokers, and maybe just further unpacking this on social media. But honestly, it was amazing. I would probably watch it again, and I will definitely be recommending it to my little nephews, my little nibblings all over, because I am an auntie to several. And those are just my thoughts about it. And other than that, thank you for tuning into this episode. Feel free to share your thoughts with me, with the community. As you know, we are a cute little vibrant community of feminists over here, and we just love to unpack. So thank you for listening to that perspective, and I'm looking forward to hearing what you think. I will catch you later this week or next week with the next episode, which definitely will have a guest, where we're probably going to be further unpacking sexual pleasure and sexual health. Wow, this episode has just been full of like tongue twisters. You guys are going to have to forgive me for that. Thank you for listening to The Feminist Bar, and I will catch you next time.